It's good to be back with you here at Pioneer Baptist, gone for a couple of weeks, but man, some great things have been happening here, and very grateful and very excited for all that God is doing here and what He will continue to do. Also glad to have Sarah and Rachel here with me this morning, and always good to have part of my fan club with me when I get to worship with you and share from the Word of God. This morning I'm going to be in the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, so let me give you a chance to find that. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be sharing together verses 1 through 22, or 21, excuse me, Romans 12, 1 through 21, the whole chapter of Romans. So we'll be reading that together in just a moment. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. So as you're finding that, let me just express my appreciation to you for allowing me to serve you as your interim pastor. It's been since last fall. Was it November, I think? Was it November? Yeah. So the Lord has blessed me and my family just in being with you since November to now. And I was keeping you in my prayers on that Sunday that Brother Stephen preached his trial sermon. And I understand that the place was packed and the vote was overwhelmingly affirmative for Pastor Stephen. And very excited about him and his family coming. And I know that his family can't wait to get here and start ministry here. So just know of my prayers and thanksgiving for you and for all that the Lord is doing here. So I was able to pick up the little bio on Brother Stephen out there in the vestibule, and this will help me to pray for him and for his family. And Stephen and Heather and their four children, John, Joel, Johanna, and Josiah. So if you haven't picked up one of these, go ahead and do that and just keep that in your Bible and pray for Brother Stephen and his family every day between now and his first Sunday later in August. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Please stand in honor of God's love, or God's word and God's love. Follow along as I read aloud. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, "Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Last Sunday I was with you, I was able to share with you a message from Ephesians where we talked about the purpose of the church. And the purpose of any church is to glorify God. And we talked about this amazing passage from Ephesians where Paul really does convince us that it's true, that it's in the local church that God is most glorified. And so we talked about all of the ways that God gets glory and honor, some of these obvious ways in nature or some of these unforgettable ways from God's word where God gets glory. But Paul really did convince us that it's in the local church, just like Pioneer Baptist Church, that God is most glorified today. Well, this morning for Romans 12, I want to share with you something else about the local church. And it has to do with health. And I want to start with a personal story. Just about 10 years ago, my family and I were visiting and participating in one of the annual meetings of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't remember which city it was in. It's usually in Atlanta or one couple of years it's been in St. Louis. One year it was in Louisville. So different cities, mainly in the South, but sometimes in the West and North as well. But there was one particular booth there where they gave free health screenings, free of charge. And so you would go and you would answer some questions and meet with a nurse and submit yourself to a couple of very simple tests. And then within about an hour, they would give you like a health readout. And so I did that. And I have to admit, it was a wake-up call for me. Because in a very brief report, basically some things were listed that I needed to pay attention to regarding my physical health. And so when we were living in Louisville at the time, so when we returned to Louisville, made an appointment with my general practice doctor, did the physical, the whole gamut of tests, and the doctor basically told me the same thing in much more detail, and this time I was charged for it, but he told me the same thing. He said, Mike, there's some things that you need to pay attention to. Well, I have to rephrase that. He's a very blunt, straightforward doctor, and he wasn't as nice about it. He said, Mike, if you want to live to see your 50th birthday, here's some things that you need to pay attention to. And so for me, that was a health wake-up call, and I'm very grateful for the experience. I'm 54 years old this morning. Well, I mean, as of right now, I'm 54 years old. It's not my birthday or anything, but I'm 54 years old. And I must say that physically, I feel better than I ever have. I mean, in other words, I'm very thankful for my physical health. But I owe it to the wake-up call that I got just about 10 years ago. Listen, Romans 12 and the church, Romans 12 I like to think of as a health wake-up call for the church. Because yes, the purpose of any church, the purpose of Pioneer Baptist Church is to bring God glory, to glorify God. But we are only able to do that to the extent that we are healthy, that we are a healthy church. We hear a lot of folks today talk about church growth, and I think talking about church growth is fantastic. I love talking about it. Talking about growing churches, bigger churches, mega site churches, multiple site churches, church growth and church expansion. All these things are good. But listen, I'm convinced that if a church takes care of health first, if a church is healthy, then a church will grow. And there are so many comparisons here to our physical life. If you and I aren't physically healthy, then we're not going to grow and live life the way that God wants to live. It's true in your physical bodies, and it's certainly true in the life of the church. And this is also true. Churches can be healthy, but it's also true that churches can be unhealthy. There can be unhealthy practices, unhealthy attitudes, unhealthy traditions that can take root in any local church. And as long as those unhealthy practices are in place, then a church is going to struggle and a church is going to have difficulty. Churches are to be healthy. But the good news is, right here in Romans 12, you've got some hallmarks of a healthy church. So think of Romans 12 as going to the doctor, getting the physical, and the doctor saying, you know, here's some things that need to be addressed. A church health wake-up call here from Romans 12. And I want to share with you five things that make for a healthy church right here in Romans 12. Five things. And the first one is this. The first one is gospel. Gospel makes for healthy church. Now, here in Romans 12, Paul does something that is so Paul, okay? Paul loves to do this in Romans 12, and if you know the letter of Romans, you know this already. In Romans 12, Paul makes the turn, right? Here's what Paul does in his letters. He spends the first part of his letters laying out doctrine. Paul loves to teach doctrine. So he'll lay out doctrine in the first part of his letters. Pick any letter you choose, and most of them, this is what he does. And then at some point in the letter, he makes the turn and says, okay, now based on all that doctrine I just gave you, here's how to live it out. Here's how to apply it. So you've got teaching and application. You've got doctrine and practice. So in Romans, you've got fantastic doctrine. Romans is Paul's masterpiece. And Romans is all about the doctrine of the gospel. So it's in Romans that Paul begins. There in Romans 1, 16, 17, and 18, Paul says, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's God's way of making people right with himself. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul goes on to say that God makes us right with himself by faith from first to last. And so Paul spends the rest of Romans unpacking the great doctrine of the gospel. Yes, we can be made right with God, but we are only made right with God by faith in the gospel. Belief in Jesus and what he has already accomplished. The Son of God giving his life for our sins and rising to life on the third day and now in heaven with the Lord. Belief in the gospel makes us right with God. And that's what Paul unpacks. Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through Romans chapter 11. So when you get to 12 verse 1, notice what he says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God. Now, did you catch that? Therefore, Paul's turning the corner. He says, as a result of the glorious truth of the gospel, God making us right with himself by faith in Christ, as a result of that, therefore, and then he even clarifies it, in view of God's mercies. Understanding, again, how merciful God is, how loving God is, all that he has done for us, in view of that, here's how we live it out. Here is how we apply it. In view of God's mercies, brothers and sisters, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But the first part of a healthy church is gospel. Gospel. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. What that tells us about God, what that tells us about us, what that tells us about our world, our reality, our past, our present, our future. The gospel is everything, and the gospel is the foundation. Everything that we understand about life, our whole worldview, through the lens and paradigm of the gospel. Listen, that's where it starts. Salvation, not by works, lest anyone should boast, but only upon faith in Christ and what he has already done. That magnifies God, but it also gives us a realistic reminder of just who we are, how desperate we are, how much we need salvation and need the Lord, but all that has already been done for us. Nothing you can add to it, nothing you can take away from it. When you respond, Christ comes into your life, then you get to live the rest of eternity living out your thankfulness to the Lord, living out your love for the Lord and the way that you want to glorify the Lord. No longer is it a question of having to be good enough, having to make your marks or check the boxes. No, every box has been checked. Every mark has been made. When you trust Christ, you get everything. You get everything. You are totally in Christ. And everything that Christ is, now you are. Folks, listen, we still struggle to get that. I'm convinced we still struggle to get that. But isn't that what the New Testament consistently teaches? When you trust the gospel, you are in Christ. Gospel. That's the first part of being a healthy church. Gospel. Now, here's the second thing. Starts with gospel, but the second mark of a healthy church is to give. To give. Now, preacher says give. Thinking, okay, you know, he's going to start talking about money, okay, because preacher says give. Listen, what I'm talking about is so much more than money. Money's a part of it, okay? But listen, I'm talking about giving the way Jesus gave. I'm talking about giving as a sacrifice. I'm talking about giving everything in the model that Christ has given to us. Notice what Paul says. Again, Romans 12. 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you. So what's the great application from Paul? Notice verse 1. To present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. To give, to make everything about your life available, to put yourself on the altar, to give everything in surrender and in trust, to simply say, God, everything I have is yours. I'm giving to you everything. Use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. But I trust you that much. This means that not only do we practice our Christianity for an hour or two on Sunday, listen, it means every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have given everything to the Lord. It means that we give. Now, I love the picture that Paul gives here. He says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, think with me on this. I'm an Old Testament guy. You know this. The nature of sacrifice is you take an animal, and back in the Old Testament, this is what you, every time you came to church, you had to bring an animal with you. Think about how this must have been. You bring an animal with you, and you present it to the priest. And the priest would do what? He would place that animal on the altar and he would kill it. He would slit its throat. He would drain the blood. He would sprinkle the blood on the altar. Maybe sprinkle some blood on you. Sprinkle some blood on himself. But it was through the atoning death of that sacrifice that you could be reminded of the price of your sin and how gracious God is. All of it is simply a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord. But that was the role of sacrifice in the Old Testament. But the nature of it was something had to be killed. Something had to die. You left a corpse on the altar. Paul takes that idea and he turns it completely upside down because the nature of sacrifice is it's dead. So notice how radical Paul is when he says, listen, it's time for you to present your entire lives as a what? Living sacrifice. Now, for the people who first heard these words, this would have blown them completely out of the water because those two words never went together. Living sacrifice? Paul, what are you talking about? Living sacrifice? And Paul would say, yes, that's exactly what I mean. Every single day. Every single day, place everything that you have and are on the altar of your faith in Christ and let Him use you. This is what it means to give. Listen, in view of God's mercies, should we do any less? I mean, if you and I really get a full, heartfelt appreciation and comprehension of everything God has given to us, does He deserve any less? Give Him everything. And so what that means is, when the church needs something, when we got to step up our giving or give to a love offering, whatever the case may be, listen, it's not going to be a struggle. Because we can write a check. We can give money in a plate. Because we've already given everything over to the Lord. Our homes, our families, our jobs, our future, everything we've given to Him. Healthy church, gospel, healthy church means that we give. But there's a third thing that healthy church means. Paul talks about it. Take a look. He says in verse 1, in view of God's mercies, living sacrifice. Now I want you to look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. Paul here talks about making sure that there is a continual renewal going on inside. Paul talks about renewing your mind. Here's what he means. He means, listen, let the Holy Spirit continue to change you. Because listen, you and I aren't done yet. When you first trusted Christ, that wasn't the end. That was the beginning. That was the beginning of your new life, your new birth. Now what's happening? You're growing. You're changing. But the Holy Spirit wants to continually renew you and transform you on the inside out. And so this is part of what it means to be a healthy church, that you and I continue to be open. Holy Spirit, what new thing do you want to show me? What new thing do you want to do on the inside of me? How do you, Lord, want to renew my mind? Listen, it means your way of thinking. It means your attitudes, the way you approach life, the way you approach work and your family and relationships. It's the renewal of your mind. Change the mind and you change everything. Change the way that you think, the way that you approach life, how you understand life. If that can start to change, then everything else changes as a result. When we try to change people or things from the outside in, it's an endless frustration. But if we can change a person on the inside, we'll say, well, who can do that? How can you change a person from the inside? You and I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit does. Renew your mind. So if healthy church is gospel, and if healthy church is give, listen, third thing healthy church is get renewed. Okay? Get renewed. And we got to be open to this. There are times when God does this in a church. We used to call it revival. Used to be a couple times a year we'd have revival. And even if the emphasis would be on an evangelistic revival where you bring your lost friends to church and they hear the gospel. Again, what's going on here? It's a chance for everyone to get renewed, to get revived, to be open to the new things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. But a church has to be open to this, because what's going to happen otherwise? We get stuck. We get stuck in the old patterns. We get stuck in the things that we've always done, just the way that we do things. And that can be stability. It can be honored. Tradition can certainly glorify the Lord. But here's the problem. When we shut ourselves off from the new thing that God wants to do, we miss out on the blessing, and God takes it somewhere else. Get renewed. In your mind, on the inside, your brain, your heart, the way you think, the way you perceive things. God can do it. God wants to do it. Will you let Him? So a third sign of the healthy church is that we get renewed. Then, fourth sign of a healthy church. Again, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly. Here's the get renewed part. As God has distributed the measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, teach. If exhortation, exhort. If leading, lead with diligence. You know what the fourth part of healthy church is? I'm just saying it's go. It means go. In other words, go and do. Go and do. Go and do the things that God has called you to do. We like to sit. We like to sit and we like to wait. Maybe it'll be somebody else who will step up. But listen, God is calling you to go and do. I love those times when that's what Jesus would say to somebody. Somebody would come up and say, Lord, what's the best commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And the person says, well, yes, Lord, I agree with that. And then Jesus would respond by saying something like, well, go and do likewise. Go and do. Go and do it. Listen, God has appointed you. He's called you. He has equipped you. What does Paul say here in Romans 12? He has already given this church everything this church needs. He has already equipped everyone with everything that this church needs. Because you're a body. You already have every resource. Everything is already here. preacher used to tell the story, it would be like a giving sermon or something, and he would say, well, you know, church is facing a financial crisis, and he would say, church, I've got good news and bad news about our current budget crisis. So, well, you know, give us the good news first. Well, the good news is the Lord has already met our need. And everybody cheers and claps, you know. The bad news is it's in your wallets and in your checkbooks. But the point is, every need this church has already been met. Here's the challenge. It means that you and I have to go and do. Children's ministry, Sunday school, serving, greeting, usher, serving on committees, whatever the case may be, helping out with the Pioneer Days. Listen, everything is already here, but it's up to us to go and do. It's what it means to be a healthy church. Say, well, never done it before, okay? Just go and do. If you've been called to it, then do it. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's exhortation, exhort. If it's leading, then lead with diligence. We go and we do. But then here's the fifth part of healthy church. We've talked about gospel and give, get renewed, going. But then here's the third and final part. Look at what Paul begins to do in verse 9. Short things that Paul begins to talk about. Romans 12 beginning at verse 9. It almost reads like Proverbs. Short things that Paul does. But notice what he does here. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't lack in diligence or zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. Look at verse 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Here's the fifth and final part, and it's simply this. Grace. Grace. Grace in our relationships. Not only in our relationship with our neighbors, with people that don't know the Lord, but listen, also grace with each other. Because it can happen that within a church body, we get slighted we think someone doesn't like us. And maybe the truth, maybe they don't like us. Relationships can sour. Relationships can break even in a church body. But the question is, how will we respond? How will you respond when you feel like someone has mistreated you in the church? Romans 12, grace. Grace in our relationships. It means that we'll forgive. It means that we won't hold a grudge. It means that we won't be bitter. And when something hurts, what do? We take it to the Lord. We say, Lord, this hurts. And we can hear the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saying, yes, I know exactly how you feel. Because the Lord Jesus will say to us that he himself was betrayed by a man whom Jesus thought was one of the best friends he had in the world. And yet that one disciple betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knows. Jesus understands. And so when Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them because they don't really know what they're doing. Listen, that has to be the experience every one of us is to have. When we feel like we are wronged by a brother or sister in Christ, we've got to take it to the Lord. Listen, and it can take time. It can take time. Healing can come. Growth can come. And even reconciliation can come. But it starts with how you and I respond whenever there's a break or rupture in a Christian relationship, even in the local church. Relationships that are full of grace. It's our chance to practice what we preach. Because we preach a gospel of reconciliation. We got a chance to practice it. I love what Paul says. He says, listen, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Understand there are certain things outside of your control. You can't control what goes on in someone else's head. You can't go there. You can't control that. You can't control what someone else will do. You can't control the things that happened to you in your past. Certain things you can't control. So Paul says, as far as it depends on you, for what you do have stewardship over, live at peace with everyone. If that seems impossible, it is. But you and I worship a God who reconciled the world to himself. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He has called us to a ministry of reconciliation. We can live this out. And for all things, leave room for the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. It can happen. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Many of you have as well. When God can reconcile brothers and sisters in Christ, when no one thought it could ever have happened, listen, it can happen. And it only serves to make the church stronger. Relationships full of grace. All right. You see how it works? Health wake-up call. Here's why it's so important. Some of you may feel, well, you know, Pastor Mike, I kind of hear what you're saying, but I don't know that we've got a whole lot of that going on in our church right now. I'm not sure about that right now. So where does this message hit us? Listen, healthy churches recover. I've seen this before in church members that I've had the privilege of walk through health crises with. You walk through a health crisis with a church member, and how many times will the doctor say, well, you know what? You've gotten a very challenging diagnosis today, but because you are healthy, then there's every indication that you're going to make this through. Because you have good habits, you've established good, healthy habits, you're going to make it through. In other words, parts of your physical body aren't already compromised, you're going to make it. True for physical bodies, true for church. To the extent, Pioneer Baptist, that you are healthy today, that when those troubles do come, and they will, they're bound to come, you'll bear it, you'll grow, and it won't destroy you. But you'll recover and you'll be stronger than ever. That's why it's so important to be not just a church, but to be a healthy church. Healthy churches grow. Healthy churches glorify the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for this word from Romans 12 and the Apostle Paul, who loved you and he loved the church. Here was a man who gave everything for the churches that he planted, the churches that he pastored, and even churches that he had never even visited. Lord, I want you to remind us and help us know that this church at Rome that Paul writes to, he had never visited them before. He hoped to visit them soon, but he writes them a letter as kind of an introduction to who he is. So he's pouring out his heart in this masterpiece of Christian doctrine to a group of Christians, many of whom he had never, ever met before. Lord, such was the heart of the Apostle Paul for the church, and may our heart mirror his. Lord, we love you. We love our Lord and Savior, but may we also love your body. And God, I thank you again for Brother Stephen. We pray for him even today because we know at the church where he's serving, the emotions get so mixed up and so just all up in the air as a pastor winds down ministry in one place in anticipation of another. So we just lift up a quick prayer for him and his family today. And Lord, may Pioneer Baptist continue to be your healthy church here to give you glory and honor in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.